When we think of Tehillim, we usually associate the Tehillim with Tzoras. We have a long history of difficulty and challenges and turning to Hashem, and more often than not, through the words of David HaMelech, to express our concern, to express our fears, to express our needs, and to turn to Hashem and to hope and pray that He will respond to us. And I thought that before we begin, just to share with you two little episodes. They happen to be personal, but I think it sets the tone for the attachment and the attitude that we could and should have to the Sefer Tehillim. Many years ago, when we lived in Los Angeles, it was a summer night, about 10:30 at night, and my oldest child, my oldest daughter, asked me if I could give her 75 cents because she has to go to she's going on a trip tomorrow and it gets hot there in the summer and she wants to be able to buy a soda. And, well, the world of Jewish education was not flourishing from a financial point of view at the time. And I said, I don't have 75 cents. So she said, what should I do? I said, well, you should say Tehillim. That's what we always do when we have a tzora. So she wasn't too happy with the suggestion, but since she didn't have any other alternative, so she decided to comply. She sat down with her younger sister, who was maybe about 4 years old at the time. I think she was around eight. And they were saying Tehillim together. And all of a sudden, she stops and she says, I don't get it. I'm leaving the house tomorrow morning at 7:30. I need the 75 cents. So what's the Tehillim going to do for me? Like, what's going on over here? And the little kid mumbles something stupid like, oh, maybe somebody will think they have to give you money. I mean, I don't know what, whatever. She went to camp without the money, and she came back with a big smile on her face. A friend of hers, who at the Purim carnival, which must have been five months before, this was the summertime, so had borrowed 75 cents from her and forgot to pay her back. She woke up that morning, and she remembered that she owed the Cohen girl 75 cents and brought it to the camp. We say Tehillim and things happen. I remember another incident when it was a very difficult day. Also, I was living in Los Angeles and I had to deposit for the yeshiva $5,000 in the bank and had promised the bank that by 11:30, I imagine we were overdrawn, and I had promised the bank by 11:30 in the morning, you'll have your $5,000. But I had no clue where it was going to come from. I remember so clearly, I was in the middle of Shir Amalos Mimamakim Krosicho Hashem, right in the middle someplace, I don't remember which word, which pasuk. I get a phone call from Eretz Yisrael, and they interrupted me, and I said, okay, I must take it. An individual Eretz Yisrael had a terrible, terrible issue. There was a terrorist attack, and his daughter was terribly wounded in the attack, and her life was mamish hanging by a thread. And he says that as a schus, for she should have a refuah shleima, I want to donate to the yeshiva $5,000, and the money is available. I can go here in Los Angeles, right where I, not far from where I live, and get the funds. And of course, I was able to get it into the bank in time. Baruch Hashem, she survived the attack and the operations, and this was many, many years ago. But the idea that we say Tehillim and things happen, it's real. It is the reality of our history. But sometimes we don't see it happening. Sometimes we wonder, why is it not happening? What's going on? Why isn't it working? And of course, many times it's working, but it's behind the scenes. It's in slow motion. It's been set in motion, and it hasn't yet unfolded. But there are times we find in Chazal where there's another consideration. Chazal say, they ask the question, Lomo nisakru hoimohis. Why is it that Soro, Rivka, Rochel, and even Leah, if not for the fact, Vayara Hashem kisnua Leah, Vayiftach es Rachmo, because of her problem that she had with Rochel, she became pregnant. Why is it the Imohis had to suffer this state of childlessness for so many years? And Chazal answer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu misave litfiloson shel tzadikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu craves the prayers of the righteous. Now we know that he doesn't have cravings. And we know that he doesn't need. And we know that anything we could say or give or offer is not enhancing his existence in any way. But it's only to our benefit. He craves the prayer of the righteous because it elevates them more. The more they focus on him, the more they repeat it, the more they keep on going, the more they refuse to give up hope, the more it seems to be disappointing and frustrating and not happening, and yet I still continue to request, and I still continue to have hope, and I still continue to put my trust in him. That elevates us to ever, ever higher levels of connection with Hashem, and sometimes that's the reason. And the trick is not to give up. The trick is that if once we try and it doesn't work, we have to be ready to try again and again. Because every time we recite those words, every time we refocus on HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his involvement in the world and his chesed in the world and his loving kindness in the world and the fact that he responds to us and to our requests and to our connection to him and to our trust in him, the more that we have the schus that brings about that Yeshua sooner and sooner, closer and closer, and hopefully eventually we will be zeiche to see the fulfillment of our prayers, the fulfillment of our dreams. We have two kapitlach, which we would like to deal with this evening, Chav Dalet and Chofei. Chav Dalet is very familiar because it's the Yom on Yom Rishon, the David Mizmor LaShem Ha'oretz Umloyo Tevel VeYoshvevo. David HaMelech had this Mizmor. He says, "The earth and all of its expanse and all of its fullness belongs to Hashem. Everything is Hashem's because He created it." And then he says, of course, "Miyale b'Har Hashem u'miyokum b'kayim kodshei," to go up to the closest proximity, the closest kurva, the closest connection to Hashem, is not so easy. And it's even harder to maintain that status. And it seems from the Meforshim, we're talking about the Beis HaMikdosh and the Mokum HaShoras HaShchino and the closest proximity that we could get to connecting with Hashem. Who is the one who connects the best? Who is the one whose connection will be maintained? Neki chapayim uvar levov, asher loy noso lashov nafshoy, v'loy nafshi, v'loy nishba lemirmo. This is the man of integrity. Neki chapayim, his hands are clean. Doesn't have anything in those hands that don't belong to him. And it's a pureness of heart. And it's the person of the ultimate integrity. Integrity, emes, that's maybe the underlying, maybe the ultimate requirement to be able to come close to Hashem. Because we know Chazal tells us, Chosomoy shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu emes. Hashem's seal, Hashem's identity is one of truth. So the person of truth, the person of integrity, will be the one who will be zeicha to come close to Hashem. And then the kapitel goes on and speaks about the opening of the Sheorim in the Beis HaMikdosh when they brought in the Oroin, and it seems that the doors, the gates of the Kodesh Kodoshim refused to open until finally. Hopefully we'll get to that later. And finally, they mentioned something at the schus of David HaMelech, and the gates opened, and they were able to bring in the Oren into the Beis HaMikdosh. I'd like to focus on a few points here. Number one, the Medrash tells us that David HaMelech only said, LaShem Ha'oretz Imloyo. And the Medrash discusses why. It says, Moshe Lemoha Dover Doimeh, it's comparable to a person who had two supervisors. Echad hoya hamamun al mashe b'bayis, v'echad al mashe b'sodeis. One took care of the household, and the other one to the fields. The one who took care of the households knew what was doing in the house and in the fields. The one who took care of the fields only knew what was doing in the field. So then he continues and says as follows. Kach, Moshe b'shor sh'ol al amorim, hoya yodeh elyoinim v'tachtoinim. Moshe, who went up to Shomayim, knew everything. He knew about this world, and he knew about what was going on in Shomayim. He was there. He spent 40 days and 40 nights, and more than once. Kiles bohen, hen la'Hashem elokecha ha'shomayim u'shmei ha'shomayim ho'oretz v'chol asher bo. To Hashem belongs the heavens, and the heavens above the heavens, and the oretz and the earth, and everything that's in it. Aval David, but David HaMelech shloi ol al amorim, David HaMelech never went to Shomayim. Kiles lahakodesh boruch hu b'mashohoyo yoideya. He only praised Hashem with what he knew. Lashem ho'oretz umloyo. He only referred to the oretz, to the earth belonging to Hashem, and not the heavens and not the Shomayim. I find this very, very strange, very, very difficult to understand. David HaMelech certainly knew what it says in the Torah. David HaMelech heard and certainly believed and would give his life for the truth of what Moshe Rabbeinu says in the Torah. And in the Torah it says, "Hen," and I quote, "Hen la'Hashem elokecha ha'shomayim u'shmei ha'shomayim ho'oretz v'chol asher bo." So what does Chazal mean, David, what his mashalo yodo? He didn't praise. He didn't know about the Shomayim. He didn't know that the covenant of Hashem fills the entire Shomayim as well. What do you mean he didn't know it? I know it. It says in the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu testified, "Hen la Shomayim," excuse me, "Hen la Hashem elokecha ha'shomayim u'shmei ha'shomayim." David HaMelech didn't know it. What's going on over here? And the pshat, I think, is very simple. When it comes to praising Hashem, when it comes to appreciating Hashem, the intellectual knowledge is not enough. Maybe it's the best that we could do at times, but for David HaMelech, who had such a sense of appreciation of Hashem, the level of appreciation that he had to be experiential, had to be a result of his first-hand knowledge, had to be a result of his feeling it. And the fact that he knew be'emuna shleima, he knew be'yadia brura bugimura, he knew 100% beyond any doubt that it was l'shomayim u'shmei ha'shomayim, as Moshe Rabbeinu testified. Eyewitness testimony from Moshe Rabbeinu, beferish, written in the posuk in the Torah. David HaMelech knew it. But the level of knowledge to be able to praise Hashem had to be emotional as well. It had to be something that emanated from his personal experience. And the intellectual knowledge that he was able to imbibe from reading the Torah, from knowing what Moshe Rabbeinu testified, was not enough to be able to sing and to say those praises on the level of heartfelt emotion that David HaMelech was capable and David HaMelech did throughout the Sefer Tehillim. And I think that although we're not on that level, and we probably can't, at least most of us can't access that feeling of praise that David HaMelech did from the depths of our hearts as he did, but we have to enhance the capability that we have as much as possible. And it comes not just from knowledge, it comes from experience, which means we have to focus on and recognize and pay attention to all of the Chesed Hashem in this world, to all of the Hashgacha Pratis in this world, to not let anything go by unnoticed, that every situation in my life and every situation that surrounds me and every situation that I have the opportunity, the capability, or the possibility of seeing and touching and experiencing, I have to do it, because that deepens even what is clearly and totally an intellectual realization beyond any doubt. But I felt it. I not just know it, intellectually, I experienced it. I saw it. Every time we're zeiche to see Hashgacha Pratis in our lives, we have to pay extra attention to it and learn from it and connect from it and recognize from it and see the hand of Hashem in even the slightest and smallest and most sometimes insignificant things. I had two weeks ago, I was in a yeshiva in the Midwest, and we were there for Shabbos, speaking, and there was a dining room, and then there's this flight of stairs, you go down a hallway, and a flight of stairs, you go down to the down a staircase to the Beis Medrash in the other part of the building. And a few times we had to walk that way, and fine. After Shalosh Shudas, going with one of the Rosh Yeshivas there to speak in the Beis Medrash, so all of a sudden he takes a detour. And there was a door, there was like a hallway, which I didn't know what it was. He goes in, all of a sudden he turns, and I see there's a ramp. And we walk down the ramp instead of walking down the stairs. Didn't know why, what. All of a sudden we became weak. We couldn't walk on the stairs. We needed the ramp. Next morning at 6 o'clock in the morning, I had to leave early when everybody was still sleeping to catch my ride to go to the airport. And I'm schlepping my suitcase. Now, I was capable of walking down the stairs and picking it up, and has wheels, but I was capable of picking it up, not yet that schwach. Lemaisa, all of a sudden, I remembered, wow, there's a ramp here. And you know, ooh, just with the wheels, goes down a lot easier. And I said, look at that. Such a stupid thing, such an insignificant thing, such a minute thing, such a slight difference. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts this bizarre idea into this person that he's going to go this way instead of the other way for no reason whatsoever, that the next day it should be etvos, just a little bit easier for somebody to get down the stairs and to carry a suitcase. And if we look at these things and we discover each and every minute detail and occurrence of Hashem's Hashgacha, then we have the ability not just to know intellectually, which we know, but to feel it. And the difference to David HaMelech was whether he could say the praises of Hashem for those things that he didn't experience personally. A thought, something to keep in mind. The truth of the matter is that Chazal here in this perek tell us that we have another opportunity to be able to appreciate Hashem's chesed. And they bring, it's actually a Gemara, but they bring here the stira in the psukim. It says, "Kol hanene min ha'olam hazeh b'loy brocha kilo nene mikodshi shomayim." One who has hano, takes pleasure from this world without making a brocha, as if he took from the kodshim that belong to shomayim that we're not allowed to have any hano from. Shenemar l'ashem ha'oretz umloyo. Because the Pasuk says in this kapitel, l'ashem ha'oretz umloyo. The oretz belongs to Hashem. Rabbi Levi Romi, Ksiv Lashem Oretz Umloya, Uksiv Oretz Nasan of Neodom. But there's another posuk later on that says the Oretz was given to man, was given to us. Hashem belongs to Hashem. Here it says it's given to us. What's the ex-lokasha? Kan koidem brocho, kan la achar brocho. It's not a kasha. This is before the brocho, this is after the brocho. Before I make the brocho, it belongs to Hashem. After I make the bracha, belongs to me. Now I have a question. Chazal tell us, Chayev Odom Loimar Kol Ha'olam Divro Bishvili. The whole world, a person should say, the whole world was created for me. I once heard from a great man, he said, Chazal say, Chayev Odom Loimar. You should say the world was created for you. You don't have to believe it. That's just a joke. You know, but I can't take it too far. There are other people that it was created for them too. But whatever. But the world was created for me. This apple, whether I make a bracha on it or not, was created for me. No one else is going to have it. No one else ever had it. It's mine. And yet, if I made a bracha, then it belongs to me. If I didn't make a bracha, it's ke'ilu ochel mikodshi shomayim l'ashem ha'oretz umloyo. It seems that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world for us, but he wanted us to benefit spiritually from that creation. physically, he wanted us to have pleasure. That's true. The Kuzri says that the reason the Chachamim were Mesakin, or one of the reasons they were Mesakin, the Birchas Hanenin, is that we should increase the pleasure. Because I make a bruch, I say, hey, I don't take this for granted. This is a gift from Hashem. Bori Pri Ha'etz. Hashem created this. Ooh, it's something special. I can enjoy it more. I don't take it for granted. But it's also for a spiritual uplift. If I make a brocha, then I recognize, here, you want to know about Hashem's chesed? Taste it. Don't know about it. Don't read about it in the book. Don't see it on the menu. Taste it with the palate. I feel the taste. I enjoy the taste. I appreciate the taste. And I recognize that this pleasure that I have comes to me directly from Hashem. Then I have a right to it. That's the reason Hashem gave it to me. So I should have not only physical pleasure, but spiritual uplift. And if I don't make the brocha, even though I will have the spiritual uplift from that which was created for me, it's not really mine yet, because I'm not fulfilling the second, maybe the primary tnai, I don't know which is primary, that it should be a spiritual experience. It should uplift me. I make this brocha and I realize, look how good Hashem is to me. And I imagine that the more you enjoy the food, the better the food tastes, the more we can really appreciate that. So we have an opportunity to recognize and to appreciate Hashem and to appreciate His gifts to us through the fact that we make these brocha. Okay, maybe we'll move on to the this two prokim here, so I don't want to take too much time on this. The next parak deals with one could summarize the next pasuk, the next parak, as a lesson in bitochin, as a graded, as a step by step lesson in the ability, the dynamic, the system of putting one's trust in Hashem. The first thing David HaMelech says is, LeDavid, Elecho Hashem nafshi eso. I lift up my nefesh, my soul to you. I'm looking up to you. I'm expecting from you. And Chazal give a moshel. The Medrash gives a moshel that they bring the pasuk b'yomai titein schoroi. The pasuk that says that if a person works and he earned a payment for the day, you have to pay him on the day that he worked. So then Chazal say as follows: Omer lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeDavid. David, Hashem says to David, Lo ma'ato noises nafshecha elai. Why are you counting on me? Why are you expecting from me? What's going on? What are you looking for? What do you mean to express? Where did you get this idea that expectation does you something? I guess that's the question. In other words, there's one thing of earning something. Maybe there's even another thing of trusting Hashem and saying to Hashem, as he says later on, Elokai b'cho botachti alei v'isha, I trusted in you, please, you can't let me down. But what's this expectation? It's someplace between earning. I didn't, maybe I did, maybe I didn't, but it's an expectation. On what basis? Where do you come? Where did you get this idea that expectations can make a difference? I think that's probably what the question is. David HaMelech says, Omar loy, mipnei shani kesochir boilomcho. I'm like a hired day worker in your world. And he brings a posuk, ke'eved yishaf tzeil u'kesochir yekave po'oloi. As a slave, as a servant who craves for protection, you know, shade, and as a hired worker who hopes for the payment of his efforts. U'ksiv b'yoymoi titin schoroi. And it says you have to pay on the day. Okay, so far, what does that have to do with anything? U'ksiv ve'elov hu noiseyes nafshoi. But it also says that the day worker is counting on it. Pay him on time. And the Pasuk Karaka says, pay him. It's his, he worked. And he's an oni. Ve'elov hu noiseyes nafshoi. And he's counting on it. So David HaMelech says, "Benoyek sheba oilam, poil shoyis hamalochim balabayis v'hu mevakish schor mimenu." Poil works and he asks to be paid. Hakadosh Baruch Hu omelo lo yisov olav hashemesh ve'elav unoyis nafshoy. He's counting on it. im onu shenafshenu tluya boy, we who our entire existence is dependent upon you, Allah has come over kamo. How much more so? What's going on over here? The poel, the worker, worked. He earned his money. And he needs his money. He's an oni. He may not even have what to serve dinner tonight to his family. But yet that's not the reason that the Torah says that you must pay him immediately. I'm sure that would also be a reason. But the Torah gives another reason. And the other reason would seem to be extraneous. The other reason would seem to be too much. Why? What do we need it for? Ki elecho, ki elov hu noiseis nafsho. He's counting. It's mine. I earned it. I need it. I may not even have what to eat. So what's the difference about the counting? And the main thing seems to be, because he's counting on it, don't let the sun go down without paying him for the day's work. It seems that we underestimate this, the sensitivity, the value system of sensitivities in the Torah. That if a person is counting on something, the disappointment, the pain of a disappointed, of accounting, not a trusting, it doesn't even mean that he'll be sure. Maybe the guy's not going to pay him. Who knows? Maybe he doesn't have the money. Maybe he's not in a good mood. Maybe he's busy. He doesn't come. Whatever it may be. But he's counting on it. He's not sure. But I'm counting on it. I'm expecting it. I'm waiting for it. That is such a sensitivity. That is such a level of pain that seems to be the essential ingredient that clinches the deal that the Torah says, not just because it's his money, not just because he's poor and he may not have what to eat, but even more than that, he's counting on it. And David HaMelech uses the same thing and says, Rabbeinu Shalom, we're counting on you. I'm counting on you. I don't know for sure that you're going to grant me what I want. I don't know whether or not I deserve it, but I'm counting. And in your Torah, it says to one who counts, who relies, who's counting on it, that person cannot be disappointed. We really find a similar thing that Yaakov Avinu, we're going to read in a few weeks, Yaakov Avinu and Esav was coming, and Yaakov was very concerned about the 400 soldiers that he had, and he was coming to hurt him, and he prepared for Milchoma. And one of the pshatim in the Medrash is that he told Esav, Im lovan garti v'ayli tzoynu bokor, he says, I want to share with you all the chesed that Hashem has done for me. I want to share with you all the chesed that Hashem has done for me. And it seems like what is he telling him? This is his enemy. This is his enemy. And now he's telling him the chesed that he did. But it seems that the human being has this sensitivity, this appreciation of chesed. And if he's going to tell him this chesed, then Esav may be melted by it. That's one thing. So human beings have this. We have this deep sense, no matter who we are, of appreciation. But Chazal over there say something else. They say that Yaakov's tefillah was, one of the pshotim is Yaakov's tefillah was like this. It says, Rabbeinu Shalom, in your Torah it says, Oisev es benoi lois ishchatu b'yom echod. We are prohibited from slaughtering the mother with her offspring on the same day. There's a certain sensitivity there. Rabbeinu Shalom, don't let Esav slaughter my wives and my children, because you and your Torah says, Esav es benoi lois ishchatu b'yom echod. You can't do such a thing. And it seems that the look that David HaMelech and that Yaakov Avinu had to the Torah was not that this is just a system of inspiring and developing within us human perfection, making us into good people. But this is the blueprint of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. This is the essence. This is him. This is his value system. These are the rules that he lives by. If you wish to understand Hashem, if you wish to be Mekayim, that which the Novi says, the only thing that's praiseworthy, the only thing that's praiseworthy is knowledge of Hashem. That's who I am. If we want to know who Hashem is, look at the tzivuyim, and the mishpotim of the Torah that he commands us. If he commands us, Elav hu neisei es nafshoi, because he is counting on you, then he has to live, and he does live, and his essence is to live by the same principles. If we count on him, he will respond. And if he says in the Torah, oisev es benoi lo isi shchatu b'yom echod, that he will live by that principle too. Yaakov Avinu invoked that and said, you can't allow Esav to do such a thing because it's against your principles. It's against the principles you taught us about yourself in the Torah. So we see from here to look at the Torah not just as our directives for life and for improving ourselves, which it is, but it's also a plan. It's also an insight into who the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is and how he acts in this world. And the principles that he demands of us are the very same principles with which he conducts himself in the world. In the meantime, David HaMelech used this as a means of being able to achieve that which he wants. But then he goes on in that parak and says as follows. A lot of very interesting things that David HaMelech says. Elikai b'cho b'tachti, the second posuk, alei v'isho, al yaltzu oyvayli. My God, I trusted in you. This seems to be already a higher level. Not just I'm waiting and expecting, nafshi eso, but I trusted. I put my trust. Trust means I'm counting on you and I'm confident that you're going to deliver. It's trust. Alei v'isho, don't let me be embarrassed. Al yaltzu oyvayli, let not my enemies rejoice because of you not having delivered on that trust. So here again, Chazal give a moshul, and they say the following. Maise hoyo bekesorin, for hoyo shom ish godol, for hoyo lo shem ba medina. There was a man there, and he had a reputation in the medina. For hoyo shom ish acher, for hoyo shomrei ha medina oivrim, motzu achsanei echod. They found some guest, Tofsu, Omer Lahem. It seems he invaded the palace of the king. Omer Lahem, Hanichuni, Ben Beisa Shemelechani. Leave me alone. I'm a Ben Bias of the king, a relative of the king. So don't start up with me. I guess they're ready to throw him out or beat him up or who knows what. Kivan Sheshomuze, Hinichu Shemru Arabiker. They heard this. And they left him and they guarded him until the morning. It must have been the middle of the night. They weren't going to wake up the king to ask if you want to see your Ben Bias. So they kept him and took care of him till the morning. They brought him to the king. Ben Beischa Motsonu Emesh. We found your Ben Bias yesterday. Beni Ato Makir Oisi. He says to the guy, my son, do you recognize me? Omaloi, love. You don't even know who I am. You never even saw me before. How are you my Ben Bias? In other words, the king saw that this guy's no Ben Bias. He's a phony. So he says, how could you be my Ben Bias if you never even saw me before? I beg of you, I'm not your Ben Bias. But I trusted in you. Had I not said that that I'm your Ben Bias, they would have beaten me up because they found me trespassing. He trusted in me. I have to leave him alone. Don't touch him. Let him be. Kach David Omar, Elikai b'cho botachti, b'shvil shebotachti b'cho al yaltzu oyvayli. Don't let my enemies attack me. Don't let me be embarrassed because I put my trust in you. Here lies a very, very interesting concept. That there seems to be something that I have no rhyme or reason or basis. There was no promise. There's no justification to what I'm doing. But I put my trust in you. I did it out of desperation. I didn't do it out of great love of the Melech that I heard about this Melech. He's such a kind soul. And if you sneak into his palace, that'll always be nice to you and invite you for breakfast. No, I did it because I was desperate. They would have beat me up. So I'm coming from a position of desperation. And I'm putting my trust in you because I have no choice. And yet, we see that the Melech responds. He trusted me. How can I let him down? More than the fact that he just was counting and waiting, but he trusted. Because, it's obvious he trusted. Because had he not trusted in the Melech could have done a lot worse than Makin Oisai. A lot worse than those guys would do Misofek. the Melech would do, you know, not only that, you came and you lied. That's even worse. That's treason. I don't know what it is, you know. But no, he says, I put my trust in you. That melted all resistance. Kach David HaMelech, and David HaMelech Hazal gave this moshul. That's what David HaMelech says to Hashem. We have the right to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu this way. Elokai b'chobotachti. I trusted in you. On what basis? Really, the basis was desperation. I had no one else to trust. No place else to turn. What else am I going to do? Who else can help me? B'chobotachti. Ali v'isho. Don't let me be embarrassed. It would be very embarrassing. Imagine that all my friends know I'm trusting in Hashem. You're trusting in Hashem. Well, let's see. Ha ha, you see? Nothing happens. You fool. You put your trust in him. He doesn't respond. Al evoisha, don't let me be embarrassed. Al yalzu oyvaili, don't let my enemies rejoice. And it seems that there's a koyach. And David HaMelech says, if I put my trust in Hashem, that Hashem will definitely respond. I ask him, please let me do it. And we see from the Moshul in Chazal that it evokes a positive response. The next pasuk says, "Gam kol kevecha lo yevoishu." All of those who put their trust in you should not be embarrassed. Yevoishu abigdim reikom. Only those traitorous people, those empty traitors, they should be the ones that should be embarrassed. And here Chazal says something very interesting. David HaMelech says, that he says, I'm trusting in you. Omer David lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, b'shor shanei omer b'tfilo fonecho, don't let my tefila be despicable, not acceptable in your eyes. B'pnei she'eneim shel Yisrael tluyos bi. The eyes of Klal Yisrael are counting on me. Ve'einai tluyos b'cho. And my eyes are counting on you. David Melech is the Melech. Everybody's counting on his leadership. When I pray to you, Hashem, please don't let my tefillah be rejected, because the whole Klal Yisrael is dependent on me, and I'm dependent on you. Im shamato tefilosi, gilo shamato tefilosom. If you heard my tefillah, it's as if you heard their tefillah, because I represent them. B'chein atomeitzei b'sainis tzibur, the same thing, the shalich tzibur gets up, and he's being mispal for the whole tzibur, and so forth. V'hu shamei tefilosom. L'kach omar David, gam kol kevecha lo yevoishu. He says, therefore, all those who hope in you shouldn't be embarrassed because of the fact that my tefillah is really representing them. Something is off with this moshul and the posuk. The posuk says, gam kol koivecho lo yevoishu. All those who put their hope in you. So David HaMelech is saying that not only should you not embarrass me when I put my trust in you, but also those that put their hope, which is a form of trust, in you, they should not be embarrassed. Yet the Moshul Chazal say that David HaMelech is trusting Hashem and saying that the others shouldn't be embarrassed because they're trusting me and I'm trusting you, and if you don't accept my tefillah, then their trust will also be disappointed because they are trusting me. So the Moshul says that they're trusting me and I'm trusting you. In other words, they're trusting me as the agent to beseech you on their behalf. But the Posuk says that they're trusting Kol Koivecho, they're trusting Hashem. And I think that there's a very, very profound message over here. And that is, you have to be very careful. There are times when it's definitely appropriate, and David HaMelech represented, a Shliach Tzibur represents such a thing, where people are counting on the tzaddik, and on the leader, and on the Melech to represent them, and they're counting on his tefillos being more effective because he's the greater person, he's the bigger tzaddik, he has, so to speak, the closer connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there is such a thing. Interesting that the tzaddik who's doing that, he uses the influence that he has. Hey, everybody's counting on me. So in other words, we're counting on his influence. He's counting on our influence. He's counting, he's asking Hashem, he says, because they're all trusting in me, that's why. So again, the tzaddik comes to Hashem with a unique kurva. He has a unique connection. He's in a unique position because he's so much closer to Hashem. And everybody is relying on his tefillos. Mitzad sheni, the method that he uses to be heard is because I represent so many people, so you have to respond to them. It's not just me. But there's something very interesting. It seems that when they rely on the tzaddik, and he says they're tluyim bi, they're only relying on him to bring them closer and their tefillahs closer to Hashem. They're still together koivecho. They have to be very careful not to be relying on him as the source. He's only an agent to bring their trust closer to Hashem. A very, very fine difference. There's a the pasuk says, "Al tiftachu b'nedivim." Don't trust in the generous people that give. So the Meiri says that b'chachomim you're allowed to trust. Why? Shehem yadricho oisur b'darke bitochem b'Hashem, because they will tell you that Hashem will help. They'll guide you in the ways of trusting Hashem. So what's going on over here? The chochem is able to do something, so you can trust him. No, he's just a shliach like anybody else. So if he's a shliach, why can't I trust any shliach? The Teretz says you can only trust a shliach that's going to remind you it's the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. The Rebbe will say, the Rebbe Shtevet Eichelfin. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam will help you. Hashem Yazor. Those are the only people that we can turn to be our representatives. So we shouldn't forget that it's Gam Kol Koivecho Lo Yevo Yishu. We're still hoping to Hashem. And sometimes in life, there's a danger. Because we turn to someone, we turn for a brocha, we turn with a tefillah, and for someone to be mispalel for us, and rightly so, and certainly it's an appropriate thing. But it's appropriate to keep in mind that they are still just connecting me to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have to remain Gam Kol Koivecho. If I become Koivim, hopers in the person who's representing me, then I'm making a tragic error, because it's all about my connection with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. And not only that, even the one who represents me, David HaMelech, the Ne'im Zmiras Yisroel, who has the whole Sefer Tilim, who composed it all, who turns to Hashem, he turns in the merit of the Klal Yisroel who's depending on him. So we can't lose that fact that he needs us and we need him, but it's all about turning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I once heard a story from a Rav in Los Angeles, which I think might be kedai to mention. He says there was a woman who, for many years, she didn't have any children. She used to go to the Rav in her little shtetl and ask for a brocha and this and that, and it was gornish, nothing happened. Finally, one day she comes to the Rav and she says, "I sold all my worldly possessions. I was only able to afford a round-trip ticket to Warsaw. I'm going to Warsaw because that's where all the Hasidic Rebbes are, and I'm going to get a brocha." Fine, okay. Hashem should help you. She goes to Warsaw, and all she has is a return ticket. And she finds out that she really has to have a little more money to give a pidyon for a kvittel for this. It didn't work. Bekitza, so she didn't get to see any Rebbe. And she goes back home with her return ticket. 9 months later, she comes to the Rav to invite him to a bris. She comes to the Rav to invite him to a bris. Baruch Hashem. She says, "But Rabbi, very interesting. I never got to see the Rebbe." So he told her, of course he said it in Yiddish, so let me first say it in Yiddish because it sounds so much better. Ihr seht, ob der Rebbeinu Shel Olam will das beweisen, kann das beweisen on dem Rebbe. You see, if Hashem wants to do it, he can even do it without the Rebbe. And that's something we can't forget. When we turn to tzaddikim, when we turn for help, rightly so, and we should. Klal Yisrael turned to David HaMelech, and we should turn to great people. But we have to realize that they're only conduits to connect us with Hashem, and it's only Gam Koivecho Lo Yevoishu, nothing more than that. No one has any koyach, only the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, and the koyach that anyone has with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only because he has that influence with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's relying on our coattails, just like we're relying on him. He's counting on the schus that the Klal Yisrael has in order for him to penetrate and to be accepted in his tefillahs. Let's see if we can do just one or two other little things here. Poster goes on and says,
Apostle Vov, Zechor Rachamecha Hashem Chasadecha Ki Me'olam Heima. We ask Hashem to remember His rachamim and His kindness, Ki Me'olam Heima. And this is something that's very significant, because we don't ask Hashem just stam to have rachmonus, stam to do chesed. We're asking Him because that's what you always do. You've always done it. And that gives us the strength to believe that He's going to continue to do it. If it wasn't Me'olam, so Ma Pitom He should do it. Maybe I don't deserve it. But look what He does for the whole world. Look what He's done throughout history. There have been many times where we didn't deserve it, and He still allowed us to have Chesed and Rachamim. His Chesed and Rachamim is constant. Me'olam Heimo. Therefore, we're counting on Him to do it to us, even though we may be less than deserving. There's one more point here, which I think is significant. He says, "Chatos nurei ufshay al tizkor." Don't remember my shortcomings. Kichaste chazuchor liato. According to your chesed, remember me. Leman tuvcho Hashem, for the sake of your goodness, Hashem. What does that mean? Leman tuvcho Hashem. So Chazal give a moshul. Chazal give a moshul to a melech, who tells his workers, he says, prepare for the feast. And I want you to invite the professionals in the kingdom to the feast. Not the common folk, not the workers, just the professionals. Make this big feast, we have this big hall, and we're going to invite all the professionals. And his associate, his assistant, his agent tells him, if you're going to invite only the professionals, you're going to have so much extra food, the hall is going to be empty. You have to invite everyone. Otherwise, you're going to be missing, because it'll be obvious. You have an empty hall, you have so much food, so you have to invite everyone. So we ask Hashem, don't hold against us our sins, our shortcomings. For your goodness sake. And the moshul Chazal are giving is, Hashem has infinite goodness that He wants to give out. If He's only going to give it out to those who deserve, He's going to have piles and piles of chesed in His treasury, unclaimed, untouched, unused, going to waste, so to speak. So we say to Hashem, Leman Tuvcho, for your own goodness, because you have so much goodness that you want to give to the world, and if you're going to be too discerning, if you're going to remember Chatos Neurai Uvshoi, all of my sins and all of my rebelliousness, then Leman Tuvcho, then you're going to be stuck with all of the chesed that you want to give to the world, and you won't be able to distribute it. So we say, don't look. Don't remember all the chatoim that we did in our youth and all the things that we've done wrong. Leman tuvcha. So you should be able to give out all of the chesed, all of the hatova, all of the good that you have in your world that you wish to distribute, and you shouldn't be left holding all of that goodness which you created and you developed just for the purpose of giving, and because you're too critical of us, therefore you will not be able to distribute that which you have. And I think that the message over here in this perek is really very clear. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is loving and caring. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really what we say in the Moedim every day. He's HaToiv Ki Lo'Yicholu Rachamecho. He's the good one whose rachamim is never withheld. He's the merciful one, the Merachim Ki Lo'Samu Chasadecho, whose chesed never ends. And knowing that His mercy is never withheld, and His chesed is endless, and it's Me'olam Chastoy, is Me'olam Heimo, so therefore, Me'olam Kivinu Loch. That's why we can hope to Hashem. We rely on Hashem. He's so sensitive to our needs. He responds just to that feeling of counting. He certainly responds to that trust that we have rather than to let us be embarrassed. And He responds to us to the extent that He wants to help us. And He responds to our request when we say, Leman Tuvcho, because if He's going to look at our worthiness, which is the one thing that makes us think that maybe He won't respond, then He's going to be stuck, frustrated, kaviyochol, if you're allowed to say that, with the purpose of His creation, which was only to do chesed. And now He has to hold all that chesed and can't give it out because He's been too careful, too meticulous with every person and every wrongdoing that He's done. But Hashem doesn't look at it that way. He does chesed, and to maybe take this to the final conclusion, and it's not meant to insinuate anything, but the Pasuk in Tehillim says, Rabbi machoivim l'rosho v'habitech b'Hashem chesed yisoyvevenu. Great are the pains that a rosho suffers, a wicked person, but one who puts his trust in Hashem, chesed will surround him. And Chazal say, afilu rosho u'habitech b'Hashem chesed yisoyvevenu. Even if he's a rosho, he's a wicked person, he's not deserving. So really, why should Hashem help him? But I put my trust in you, chesed will surround him. The chesed will be given to him because Hashem doesn't want him to be disappointed. Hashem doesn't want him to be embarrassed. Hashem doesn't want to be left with all the oitzros of chesed that he created in order to be able to distribute. And in that we find the strength to put our trust, to put our reliance in Bezus Hashem to the degree, and the Chofetz Chaim says it very, very clearly in a letter, to the degree, even it's not an all or nothing situation. I'm not 100% sure, so nothing's going to happen. To the degree that we put our trust in Hashem, is to that degree that He responds. Agutavuch.